flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're down to just two here, Dan. It's just me and you, and we'll take you up until 10 o'clock this morning, and very happy to have anyone jump in with us that would like to. Dan, I feel like we could take calls. We can do whatever we want. It is Ghost Town USA in this building here today. As I pulled up, and your car was the only one there, I walked through, and I noticed that we are the only people who have come to work today.
That's it.
Good
you
morning,
and I.
By the way. It's down to us, Dan. There's a lot of stuff going on over the weekend that we will get to. I always find it funny, Dan. On very rare occasion, we'll get a text or two before the show starts. Mm. And we had someone here who was they couldn't even wait, Dan. They couldn't wait to get after us here. And 786 started the show this morning. And before we started, love them booze on Jimmy. He deserves it. Those three wise men on Friday were wrong. 8 sorry points for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy also had 7 assists. He was a plus 19 yesterday as the Spurs got crushed by the Heat. Nobody's booing Jimmy, by the way. I don't know what anyone is talking about. There is not. I saw a video, Dan, with some girl holding up her phone, and she posted a video, and she goes, "Jimmy getting hit by boos," and it was the only person booing was the girl holding the phone. I was there on Friday. Nobody's booing Jimmy. All right, there was like 10 people who were really stupid who booed him, but that was about it. This thing, by the way, very anticlimactic. The Jimmy Butler thing. Like, I know everyone. I was expecting there to be drama. It seems like everyone was expecting there to be drama. There wasn't. He just went out there. He played on Friday. The Heat got absolutely torn apart by the Denver Nuggets. And so that one was just, I mean, they had no shot in that game. Denver is, we know that they're very good, but I didn't realize Russell Westbrook could still play at that high of a level, man. Jeez.
Turning back the clock this year.
Man, oh, man.
It helps Russell to have a guy good. Called Nikola Jokic with you, too.
Yeah, he's really, really good. The Heat did not have any answers for them, and they just got blown out of the gym on Friday. Jimmy, obviously, what do you have, 18? He certainly played. And then
33 minutes. I mean, yeah. That's not bad. And then, in a game like that, I mean, what do you expect them to do? Go out there and when they're getting beat like that to just die all over the place? No, he's fine.
Yeah, and look, Jimmy obviously didn't need to do a whole heck of a lot yesterday. Again, he was in the plus-minus. That's usually a good place to look for guys. He was a plus 19, so that's okay. By the way, Khalil Ware, plus 27 yesterday, 25 points.
That's the talk of the town right now. You got the big lineup, Bam and Khalil Ware on the court together, making a difference against the really bad Spurs team.
I like it. So the Heat are one game over 500, and that took all of a few minutes there to get someone texting in about Jimmy, who's just not particularly accurate, but who's keeping track anyway at this point. It's a holiday. Everyone's probably sleeping still, so that person got their licks in on Jimmy here early this morning.
Also got that early text from 786, 8 sorry-ass points. I did see that at the end of the Kansas City Chiefs game. They took the safety. Got beat by the hook, maybe.
Well,
it was 8.5.
All right, so let's jump into these playoffs, Dan. What a weekend it was. I am still kind of trying to get over this Bills thing. And, man, oh, man, Mark Andrews, bless his heart, the most sure-handed tight end. I mean, if you had to think of guys in the NFL right now, like, he's in the conversation with Kelce, right, as far as guys that are, like, just the most consistent, the most steady type of player, I mean, ever. Like, Mark Andrews is a Hall of Fame tight end, and he blew it yesterday. He truly blew it yesterday. He had the fumble, which was a real killer, and then he drops the two-point conversion. I mean, had it in his hands, dropped it, and, man, it's that is an absolutely brutal way for the Ravens to go out. And Lamar Jackson, for the second straight year, just can't catch a break. And this was not on Lamar. I mean, Lamar did everything he had to do to win that football game. I thought he played fantastic. I thought Josh Allen did the same. I also thought the Bills, Dan, came out in the second half very tentative with their play calling. It felt like they were kind of taking their foot off the gas, and they were like, all right, well, let's let Baltimore, if they can make the plays, you know, we're not going to hand it to them. But the Bills' offense kind of stepped off the gas a little bit, and I thought was a little weak in the second half, but then they started to be able to run the ball late. But again, the Ravens had a chance to tie that game. Mark Andrews with the late drop after an insane touchdown catch on the play prior, and that was it. The Bills were able to run out the clock after that, and the Bills will play the Kansas City Chiefs once again on Sunday in the de facto Super Bowl game, Dan. 6:30 on Sunday on CBS for that one. And then you have the Eagles and Commanders at 3 o'clock on Fox as the Commanders pull one of the great upsets of the year. They beat the Lions in Detroit. And that place, man, that place was rocking. Ooh. For that game. They were so excited over there to get that home playoff game. And that place was just going bonkers, and Jaden Daniels and the Commanders come in there, and they hang 45 on the Lions.
Win by 14 at that, too, and the Lions, this is the year! This is the year! And you didn't even get out of the first playoff game.
It felt like it was the year, though, for the Lions, right? The most bet on team to win the Super Bowl, the Lions, which is, you know, kind of crazy here, but because, you know, I still think the Chiefs are obviously the team to beat. I don't know if Buffalo can do it. I think it's going to be a very tall task for them to go in there and try to get a win. Clearly, it has not gone well for opposing teams. Clearly, Dan, there's a little bit of a something, I don't want to say extra working for the Chiefs, but damn, do they seem to get every little bounce, every little call, and everything seems to go their way. Joe hates when I do that, but man, does it seem to be so obvious at this point. The stat, though, from this Commanders-Lions game that jumps out at you, and clearly the obvious factor here, turnovers. The Lions gave the ball away 5 times. Mm-hmm. The Commanders did not turn the football over. So you talk about stats that are very telling. Yeah. That one, I think, certainly takes the cake for the weekend, Dan. You cannot give the ball away 5 times.
No, you can't do that. Jared Goff's been kind of cavalier with the ball at times this season. We've seen him kind of throw it to the other team, and it's going to catch you late in the season when you're playing up against quality teams. And I just don't think anybody understood how good the Commanders really are. Jaden Daniels, the first rookie to ever win 2 road playoff games.
And yeah, he's one of your guys over there.
It's LSU guy, from Arizona LSU. State, LSU guy. You know, yeah. Nowadays, nobody is.
That's true. There's no one school guys anymore.
Like when you said Xavier Restrepo played all 4 years at Miami, I was like, whoa, no.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of those guys running around anymore, Dan. The Canes, by the way, are involved in I don't even know what you would call this, a controversy. I don't even know.
A technicality?
Yeah. I mean, these things just continue to get weirder and weirder with these college football stories. We'll get into that later on. But you had the Rams, by the way, yesterday, who should have probably beat the Eagles. They turned the ball over twice. I know that weather seemed to get a little nasty for a team from L.A. It was snowing hard in that game. I think the Eagles are in big trouble.
Oh, you do?
On Sunday. I think the Commanders are going to give them a tough game. I think Jalen Hurts is clearly banged up.
They know each other, though. They're in the same division.
I know.
You're not surprising anybody. Like the Commanders, let's be honest, the Commanders seem to have surprised a bunch of people this year, kind of like the Texans did last year. The Eagles are ready for them. But then again, we said that every week, and then the Commanders do what they do.
But the thing to me is, first of all, Jalen Hurts is banged up, and like, this seems very obvious. Someone said this on ESPN Radio. I was driving in this morning, and they were like, well, You sell out to stop Saquon Barkley. If someone else got to beat you, they got to beat you. It's like, well, I think teams are probably doing that to an extent. Saquon Barkley is just, he's just playing at another level, similar to what you saw from Derrick Henry yesterday. I got to tell you, though, man, if Mark Andrews catches that ball, they get a two-point conversion. I'm not so sure the Ravens will win that game. I don't know. And again, I don't know who's going to get the coin toss and how overtime's going to shake out and all that good stuff. But I just think, man, Derrick Henry started to get it going in the second half of that game, and that seemed very problematic. But, yeah, I just think these two running backs between Saquon and Derrick Henry, I hope they revive that position, because I know Saquon, they showed all these receivers that are making so much more money than he is. I hope those guys are able to like revive that position, because I've always thought the running back position was undervalued in the NFL. You get some of these guys like Saquon or Derrick Henry, even James Cook I thought was pretty good yesterday for the Bills. But we are set, man. The conference championships are set. You have Eagles and Commanders, Philly favored by 5.5 points in that game. And then the Chiefs and Bills, that line is already up to 2 for the Chiefs, minus 2. It started at 1, it's up to 2. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can see the Bills going in there and beating those guys, Dan. There's so much working against them, isn't it? Like, the Chiefs get so many friendly bounces. I'm not going to call them calls as much as I say friendly bounces. As it's just everything seems to go their way.
Man, all right. That's what being a champion's all about, man. Yeah. You got to beat them twice to beat them once. But that defense, man, the Chiefs they're one of those teams that to me that is just like this. Like, oh, look at Patrick Mahomes, look at Travis Kelce. Really, our defense is the main part of our team. That's the best part of our team. And then we'll just let Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and, oh, yeah, legendary coach with 300 wins, Andy Reid, figure out a way that when it gets tight to win. It's like they have a great, yeah. I don't know if you call it a trick. It's just their gimmick is really, really good, which is really based on the defense, which is fantastic.
It is. It absolutely is. All right, a few early texts here. Dan, I guess if people want to call, I mean, it is a holiday. You know, we're here by ourselves. If you want to call in, and you want to mix it up on any of these topics with us, we'd love to have you. 305-567-0560. Just give us a call. We'll just throw you right in here. 786 says, 2 point throw to Andrews wasn't his fault. Lamar threw it behind him. Blame Lamar for shrinking in the big moments again. No go, my friend. No go. That is a catch he's got to make.
That's called being an NFL player.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to put that on Lamar. I don't know. I guess people will see it how they want to see it, but no.
You know,
that ball hit him square in the hands. He had it, dropped it, had it again, and dropped it again. And by the way, I mean, and also that fumble that he had going across the middle of the field where he decides instead of just moving forward and going down that he's going to start dancing around and moving backwards or whatever it was he was thinking about doing, doing his best Kelce impression there, like, you know, over the middle of the field. He gets the ball punched out. That's on him too, man. That is on him. And, yeah, we got to stop blaming Lamar for everything. I know quarterbacks get the lion's share of the blame, and they should, because that comes with the territory of that position. But Lamar did what Lamar had to do in that game. I mean, he just did flat out. Like, they did not lose that game because of Lamar. If anything, Lamar put together an amazing drive at the end of that game, throws a ridiculous touchdown pass just to get them to the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, bought tons of time in the pocket too.
954 says the Xavier Lucas thing is potentially very big. You guys should get some attorney to look at the so-called contract Wisconsin is trying to enforce on this kid, then have them come on the air. Darren Heitner, who does all this stuff, and I know the guys, D-Money from Kane's Insight, who is also an attorney. I know those guys have kind of broken this entire thing down. The Big Ten is crying foul here, and you know I don't think they're going to have anything to do here, because, look, these guys are not employees. These are not employee contracts that they're signing. Does this change? Do they become employees? Do they unionize? I don't know where this goes from here, guys. I don't even want to guess anymore. But I can tell you that, I mean, these guys can scream from the mountaintops that they got screwed or whatever, but I just don't think they're going to have any recourse here. as far as this situation with the University of Miami goes. It's a very strange situation. You know, they could, and they can also claim tampering. They can say whatever they want, right? And it is funny because I'm guessing they do a whole heck of a lot of the same stuff, these big conferences like the Big Ten. But yeah, when Miami does it, let's all scream and sue and, you know, this other stuff. But I just don't think these contracts, Dan, even if these guys do agree to NIL deals, I don't know how you enforce any of this stuff.
What does the Big Ten have to do with that? Because it's, NIL deals have nothing to do with the school and the university. It's got to do with boosters and collectives, right?
Yeah, this money is coming from somewhere else. Because, again, it can't be pay-to-play money.
Right.
It's got to be NIL money.
Name, image, and likeness.
Yeah. So, and then these guys are also not employees. Like, Wisconsin called it a binding two-year NIL agreement. You can't, like, what is a binding? You can't sign a contract to play at a school. You just can't.
Right.
They're not employees of the school. They're not bound to the school by a contract.
So you're basically signing a two-year advertising deal.
Yeah.
But that's not with the university.
So he's actually represented by Darren Heitner as well. I mentioned him earlier, and Darren has been on social media, and he's been explaining the entire deal here. But as this story continues to unfold, we can certainly check in on that angle of it. But I think it's a very, very bizarre story because I just don't know like how Wisconsin feels like they have any actual recourse here. Because, again, these guys are not employees. They can't sign employment contracts. But yet this school seems to think that they're able to. And they might be right. I know they came out crying the system cannot work without an operational model that both establishes and enforces agreed upon rules and regulations and contractual terms that are binding on both institutions and student athletes, Wisconsin said in a statement. Well, they're not employees, man. You want to make them employees? Fine. Figure that part of it out. Great. But as of this moment, that is not the case.
And the red flag that is kind of weird is he didn't enter the transfer portal. He just transferred.
Well, they wouldn't let
him. Oh, they wouldn't
let him. Essentially, Wisconsin like wouldn't let him. They like blocked him or something. And it's like, look, man, I get it. You're pissed off. You got the guy in there. You offered him a bunch of money. He probably agreed to it. Now you're pissed off that he's leaving. It doesn't work that way, though, man. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
This
is like the system is a disaster. The college system is an absolute disaster right now. It is a free for all. There are no rules. And when something bad happens and it doesn't benefit you, you can't just go screaming lawsuit and all that stuff. But that's where we're at in the world, Dan. That's not just college football. That's the world. Yeah. You know, stuff doesn't go your way. You always got to find someone to sue, right? There's always someone out there to sue. All right, we got a lot of stuff going on. Jimmy Butler, a little anticlimactic there, Dan. That wasn't as exciting as perhaps everyone had thought it was going to be, and everyone's got their opinion on this one. Someone, I think, said earlier here, 561 says, watching Jimmy live, you could tell he had no energy or cares. I love Jimmy. If he's going to be that way, get him out of here, get him off the team.
Well, it's not that
easy. Tough call, man. Yeah. It's a tough call. I don't know. I think he played. I mean, he went out there and played. You know, Jimmy's never been like kill it, you know, in the regular season type of guy. The Heat did win big yesterday. He was a plus 19 while he was on the floor. So, again, as long as they win, I think that's kind of the goal right now. Like, I don't know. Would you have felt better if Jimmy dropped 20 yesterday and they won by 30? I just don't know, like, all that much what the difference is. Texas said, hey, did you guys see the ACC thing about changing the football conference championship game? Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going
interesting,
on.
Interesting ideas coming from the ACC.
Yes, we will talk about that and plenty more. And again, if you'd like to just jump in, you can give us a call this morning, 305-567-0560. We are running a tad bit behind here, opening this thing up. It is raining out here on a Monday morning. It is a holiday. It is Martin Luther King Day. And we are the only people here in the building, Dan. It is you and I.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, very, very quiet in here today.
Yeah, let's go.
It's a rainy day outside. Everyone's probably sleeping after those games yesterday. Man, that was, talk about drama.
I'm not going to lie, though. The streets, I left here because I was doing the Heat game. The streets when I left, I was so desolate. And I was like, why is it so quiet on a Sunday night? And then I realized most people are probably watching this Bills-Ravens game.
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are going to look like from that game, but they are going to be, they will be very large. As we talked to Mike Florio on Friday, he said that game could be in the 40s as far as millions of viewers.
And then you get Kansas City and Buffalo now.
Oh, man. Yeah, that, I don't want to say it's the Super Bowl, but it has that feeling that it's kind of Super Bowl-ish on Sunday. That will be one hell of a game. We do have some text coming in here. 954 says this is an NIL. Revenue sharing is coming, but has not been approved yet by the courts or signed off on by the NCAA yet. Wisconsin is trying to enforce a contract to pay Lucas directly when it is not legal to do so. Yeah, that's kind of my understanding of it, that they're trying to enforce an NIL contract, and it's like, well, you can't really sign contracts. You know, this is kind of money that's being, you know, they're giving it to these kids as pay-to-play money, right, essentially. I mean, these are not name, image, and likeness deals. This is pay-to-play. And while that is not being enforced, I don't want to say it's legal because it's not. I mean, it's not supposed to be pay-for-play, but that's essentially what these deals are. And, yeah, I just don't know how you can enforce anything, and the Big Ten can cry, and, you know, man, I'll be honest, I'm starting to get sick of these colleges and conferences and everyone crying and suing, and, like, something doesn't go your way, let's sue. It's like the Florida State way, right? Like, you know, we didn't get in, let's sue. You know, let's sue the ACC. They're not giving us enough of our, you know, not giving us the lion's share of the money when we're the best team, and well, yeah, you went out and won two games this past year, so let's see, maybe pump the brakes on that just a tad.
The only place that Wisconsin might have a case is the tampering, if they can prove that there was tampering involved.
I don't know. But is there tampering anymore, though?
I mean, has there always been tampering?
Yeah. I mean, who honestly, Dan, at this point, who cares? It's just so silly.
I mean, at the same time, why are they losing their mind? I mean, I hate to, I'm not degrading Xavier Lucas, but like over a cornerback?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a very, very strange story. And I'll be honest, I don't think this is going to work out for Wisconsin.
No.
I think this is not going to happen for them. I just don't know what they expect to do. What are you going to do, sue a kid? And then here's the next thing.
Major university, top 10 public school in America. I actually went to school there, so going after a 19-year-old kid, like, how's that going to look?
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is so weird. Yeah, I don't think you want to be the first school to sue a kid either. There's some kids out there suing. Now, Florida State's involved in those too. But you don't want to be the first school to drag a kid to court, right? I don't think that that would exactly be a great look. 561 says Heat game was awesome. We got to play more Ware minutes. Play Ware more minutes. He plays so damn good. Yeah, he was very impressive. That lineup with him and Bam, that was interesting. He went with that yesterday, and they stuck with it, and he dropped 25 points. We'll see if they continue on with that lineup.
Bam sounded kind of excited after the game, a chance for him to play the 4 instead of the 5 and kind of expand his game a little bit more, which is kind of the reason why they drafted Khalil Ware, is because they wanted to make him a center and make Bam a 4.
So I did like that. Again, the Jimmy drama, not all that much. Did you have some of this sound, by the way? We'll play this real quick. And then we can discuss, someone talked about the ACC championship game earlier. I know we were going to try to get to that this segment because we ran out of time in the last one, but we will get to that in the next segment. But just real quick, here's Jimmy. This is after Friday's game, another weird press conference.
Now, remember what he was wearing during this press conference.
I know, the MJ, 45. I'm back. Yeah, he sent that out before. By the way, this guy Bernie Lee, his agent.
Oh, goodness.
Is there a bigger D-bag? Like, my God, man. Like, can you stop? Like, act like a grown-up. I mean, like, what on earth is wrong with this guy? Like, is he that stupid? Is he that tone-deaf? I mean, good Lord. Anyway, here's Jimmy after the game.
There was a lot said by everybody, except for me, to tell you the truth. So we'll let people keep talking, like they know everything, like they have all the answers. And then sooner or later, the whole truth will come out, but... Until then, we will continue to let people talk, and if I'm here, I will get out there and play.
You said you didn't know if you'd be able to find your joy keep playing here. Has anything changed in the interim, and do you think coming back and getting back out on the court, that could potentially change, or are you still the same feeling that you told us 2 weeks ago?
I was told to say no comment, so no comment. It felt good to get out there and compete, and actually run around with these guys, you know, as much as everybody may think. I don't got a problem with these guys. These guys are cool. They're my friends. Some of them tapped in. Some of y'all didn't. Don't think I don't know that. My beef not with them and never will be. Never has been. But it did feel good to get out there and play some basketball.
Kevin, it's going
to
be the same thing about questions. Okay, what's it feel like? What's going on in the background? I mean, from your perspective.
Y'all the one that asked the questions. I just answer them. So whatever
how about
questions.
That question? Is it fixable?
Is what fixable?
This situation the way it is now? And
no comment.
That was Jimmy Butler after Friday. I mean, I don't even know anymore with this guy, Dan. My beef is not with my teammates. It's never been with them.
But then he said some of them tapped in, but some of them didn't. I know who it is.
I don't know, man. I don't know how this is going to shake out here. I at this point, kind of just hope he goes. This is getting really silly. I just wish he could handle things better. And look, maybe the problem is you have a clown agent. That isn't helping you, right? This guy Bernie Lee, his agent, has helped Jimmy destroy his value essentially,
yeah.
Right? This whole charade and this whole pouting and this whole thing that he's done, I don't think there's a bunch of teams out there lining up saying we got to get this guy. And here's the other thing, Dan. I really thought if he played on Friday, he was going to go out and have one of those. You know, this is why I still have value type of games, right? He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's dogging it. I mean, it does look like he's playing. But, man, I just don't know. Maybe he just doesn't have it anymore.
That could be it, too.
But I don't think, man, after you had an 18-point game and an 8-point game, I just don't think there's a lot of teams out there like, this is the guy to put us over the hump. Yeah. We need this.
Setting a lot of picks and a lot of assists. He's kind of morphing his game right now, in the corner a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he and his agent and what's really going on there. I can't tell. He does seem like he's trying. I'm not going to say that he's out there not trying. I just think he's trying in a different way.
Well, if he wasn't trying, he would yank his ass. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. If he was being detrimental and he was just pouting and not trying, I know the Heat would pull his ass out of those games because Spo would not put up with that. Spo is he's one of the best in the game right now. He is right up there, man. And I'm telling you, that organization would not put up with him out there dogging it. But it's just the whole thing is an embarrassment. You know, takes pictures pregame. He's wearing the Jordan jersey. His idiot agent sends out the "I'm back" thing, like. Get over yourself, man. Yeah. Like, just get over yourself, Bernie.
How did he think that was going to go? Like,
I don't know.
In what world do you say, oh, this is a good idea. This will smooth things over, or this will make things better, or this will make people, you know, take our side in this whole situation?
Yeah, the Heat have caved to a lot of Jimmy's demands. There's no question about that. I saw another thing leak that they, they have caved to a lot of his stuff, man. They let the clown agent run around the building. Yeah. I mean, they let him in the facility. They let him run around in the locker room. He was in there playing dominoes with Jimmy. But that guy is – we've had a lot of clown agents in our day here, Dan. This guy might actually take the cake. All right, we do have some text coming in here. 407 says, I don't put that whole game on Andrews. Lamar had two turnovers, too.
He did. He had an early turnover,
Yeah, hey, man, look, no one's saying it's all on Andrews.
No.
I mean, did he have the two most costly plays in the game? Yeah, he probably did. I think Lamar did enough to at least tie the game, right? He put the ball on the money. It's tough, man. It is just so tough. The margin for error in these games is so small.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
But
any little mistake. And then I'm thinking as an Eagles fan yesterday, I'm watching that game, and your field goal kicker in these terrible conditions is money from 30, 40 yards out. You get it, which you think is a meaningless extra point, and he misses it. Like, oh, whatever, they're up by 13. That almost cost him the game.
954 says, not NIL. Schools will be able to pay kids directly soon. The Big Ten is going to try and use these contracts to keep kids to stay. It's simply one of the big leagues trying to flex their muscle. Yeah, I don't know what their case is at this point. Like, what are they, you know, you can't say the guy signed a deal because they don't do deals.
Right, and you can't sue on what could one day be a law, like on future law. So I think they're just grasping at straws, just throwing out a lawsuit just to kind of try to put things on hold, I guess. I don't know.
215 area code here. I wonder where that is. Says, I would love for someone to explain how a college QB is worth $4 million to the university. What is the ROI of a national championship, return on investment on a national championship? I don't know, man. Ask Notre Dame and Ohio State. They're going to play probably in front of an audience of about 50 million people tonight. So you know, what do you guys think?
I don't know. What did he say? $4.4 million?
Yeah. I mean,
if Carson Beck brings a national championship here, of course, it's not our money, but I mean, that's worth it.
That's true, too. Everyone always is complaining about the money. I mean, no one's forcing anyone to give. Yeah. You don't have to give. I mean, if you don't want to pay the collective or give to whoever, or you know, you want to donate to your academic school of choice, like give to the College of Business. Do whatever. Or you know what? Do whatever you want with your money. Buy meme coins or whatever. I saw a lot of people doing that over the weekend. Buy one of those crazy coins. Do whatever you want. It's your money.
Yeah.
But, return on investment. I don't know. Those teams are going to play in front of about 50 million people. They're going to put that game like on 8 different versions of ESPN tonight, I'm guessing. So, the return on investment probably is there.
Yeah, you think all the eyes, all the extra games, all the recruiting, all the future games that you're probably going to be good at and be on national television, yeah, there probably is a good return on investment, I would think.
And listen, the one thing I will also add to this is that the new president at the University of Miami, Joe Echevarria, is an incredibly smart man, and he is an incredibly savvy businessman as well. And he knows what he's doing, guys. If you are a Canes fan, if you are a Canes supporter, you are in very good hands at the University of Miami right now. And that's not something that we've always been able to say, but you are in exceptionally good hands at the U. We have to take a pause, Dan. We are running a tad bit behind here. You're in our hands today. How about that, man? Dan Day is going to be here for like the next like 9 hours. So you're going to be filled with Dan Day takes all day long. We do have to take a pause. We'll get to this ACC thing at some point here. We have, again, the Wisconsin story, the NFL playoffs, Jimmy Butler, anything that you want to weigh in on. Texter asked if we could name the station 560 the Dan after you, Dan Day.
I'm ready for it. You know what I'm thinking? I've been trying to play some Tiesto today. You and I have been working hard for 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks at the end of this week. Friday night, Club Space, Tiesto's playing.
You told me about that, but you also said it's a sunrise set. that's a hard pass for me.
Tell the wife and kids I'll be home at 8 a.m.
Actually, it kind of fits into our hours nicely here. Is that Sunday going into Monday? So is that like
no,
Monday
it's
morning?
Friday going into Saturday.
Oh, okay. I was saying like that. We're up usually at that time. So why don't we just we'll cruise on in and yeah, that's a weird deal. I've actually never been to Club Space. I know that's like a rite of passage here in Miami. I've never been there. I am going, where did I tell you I'm going? What's that place
Palm
called?
Palm Tree Club.
Palm Tree Club. I'm going to the Palm Tree Club to see Kygo.
Yeah, formerly Shuckers.
Yeah, but we're actually not going inside. We got a little room there. We got a little hotel there. We're going to see what we can't see from the balcony, Dan, because I am not a man of crowds at this stage in my life.
And I don't live far from there, so I was driving by the other day, and I saw all the balconies. I said,
Come on by.
Danny's going to be there one night.
Come on by. I'll throw a hotel party. I had one of those in a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll have a little hotel party. That's a sunset set.
I can handle that.
That's like, sure. I think at like 5 or 6, which is more around my wheelhouse. I'm more of a happy hour. Like, by the way, that's my thing now. We go out to eat, and it's usually early, right? It's got to be early because we're taking the kids. So it's usually before. When does happy hour end? 7?
Usually, yeah.
I never see 7 when we're out at a restaurant. So that's been the big thing, man. You go all these restaurants and like the food's, you know, half price or whatever, and drinks are half price. And it's nice, man. I like doing happy hour. It's like the new early bird.
I did that the other day. It was Friday. I happened to be in South Beach, and I went to Abbey Road Brewing. I got an old fashioned and a stout beer for $17. I was like, it's the greatest deal ever.
$17. Fantastic.
What a world.
Yeah, we went out on Friday and it was $10 sushi rolls. Oh. And it was like, that was actually $4 drinks at that place. We were at Moshi Moshi, you know that one?
Yeah, right there on Biscayne.
Yeah, we went to that place. But that's the new early bird, man. The happy hour, the new early bird. We frequent that. Because again, we're not out late enough. We're not there for I know like 8 o'clock. I guess is like that's not like the prime time when people eat. And like in my 20s, we would eat at like 9 or 10. Yeah. We would eat late and we'd go out. And I don't do that stuff anymore.
No.
And my prime years are way past me. I'm kind of like Jimmy Butler at this point. My prime might be passing me by. We've got a lot of texts here early this morning. Thank you very much for all that. 561 does say when you win the semis into the Final Four of the college football playoffs, you win your conference. $14 million. That's why it's nice for Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. They get all of that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you do, by the way. There are very interesting revenue sharing deals here. Like I know in college basketball, if you're in the tournament, like at least with the ACC, you do have to split up all that stuff. So
most conferences do that.
Yeah, I'm guessing they do. The SEC, by the way, no one's shedding a tear for the SEC right now. They are dominating college basketball. It is comical the amount of talent they have. They had 9 teams in the top 25. Mm-hmm. They had like 4, I want to say, in the top 9 or something as of last week. They have some very, very good talent in that league. NIL, if there is one winner from NIL, it might be SEC basketball.
Yeah.
They might be the big winner. If you look at everything that's gone down from the NIL era, they might be the big winner. SEC basketball. That seems to be where all the money is flowing here.
The SEC is so good that John Calipari and all of his blue chippers at Arkansas are getting run out of the league.
Yeah, they did, by the way. They did have some NBA talent on that Arkansas team. We saw them down here. You asked me about the Canes game on Saturday. I said no comment.
Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I'm like Jimmy Butler. Yeah, I don't want to comment right now on what I saw on Saturday at the Watsco Center, because it is, by the way, it is tough, man. I've said this, I'm not going to be a fraud about it. Coaches and staff are friends, and it's certainly very difficult to watch what is going on over there. Real quick, someone did ask about this ACC situation here, so. Essentially, what they want to do here, and this is Conference Commissioner Jim Phillips said, the ACC could consider giving its regular season champion a bye, have the teams that finish second or third in the league standings play in the ACC championship game. Another possibility is having the top 4 teams play in the final weekend of the regular season, first place versus fourth place, and second place against third, and then the winners play the following weekend in an ACC championship game. And this is all because the ACC did have trouble getting 2 teams in. And I just wonder, Dan, like maybe at some point they get to the point where they don't penalize a team for losing a conference championship game. Because if you're going to elevate teams that don't play, that to me is the problem, right? Like you'll have an SEC team that's like, let's say they're ranked 13th. And if, you know, someone in the ACC championship game, if it's like, let's say, you know, number 8 versus number 10 or something like that, right? And 10 loses. Are you going to put Alabama? Are you going to let them jump them just because they were sitting at home and waiting? That to me is the issue, right? If you're going to play in a conference championship game, you don't want to get screwed by losing. That's a big issue, right? You should not penalize teams for playing an extra game.
We've seen teams in the past not make the conference championship game, then go on to win the national championship,
yes,
which makes
usually
no sense
SEC,
whatsoever.
Right?
It's SEC always, Alabama.
But we do have a national championship game tonight that does not involve the SEC. It involves Notre Dame and Ohio State. So